Grace and mercy and peace are all yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation this morning is the lesson from Acts appointed for this Sunday in Easter from Acts chapter 4. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. This is the word of our God. So it's been 4 weeks. 4 weeks since our celebration of Easter when we gathered here together and we saw the tomb empty. How have you been doing since then? It's been a long 4 weeks. Has that joy you felt on that Easter Sunday morning, has it faded? What's happened? If what you saw there and what you experienced when you looked into that empty tomb, if that is already so far in your rearview mirror. Yeah, our sermon series throughout this season of Easter is Made New. And as I said at the beginning of the service, that empty tomb means we are new. We are something different. Everything is changed. Our life now, our eternity. That resurrection that we celebrated 4 weeks ago is the most important event in the history of the world that ever was or ever will be. It is the promise of life. It is the promise of sins forgiven. It is the promise of eternal life that changes absolutely everything. So what's happened in the last 4 weeks that you've lost sight of that? Is it back into the same old, same old? The same old sins? The same old regrets, the same old guilt, the same old failures, the same old worries, the same old fears. That whole being made new sounded really good 4 weeks ago, but it's maybe been lost already. What was going on weeks after Jesus' resurrection in the early church? It's remarkable. It really is. What had happened, what they were doing, what they were experiencing. We have just a small part of it here from the book of Acts before us this morning. We see what a difference that resurrection made in their lives and how it changed how they lived, how it changed their perspective on what life was really all about. Weeks after, they were still living in that joy of the resurrection, and not just this outward feeling, but this inward sense of being that just spilled over into every single area of their life. You see, that resurrection gave them an eternal perspective of this life. And what that means is that they knew that that grave being empty, Jesus being alive again, meant that they had heaven waiting for them, that eternal life was theirs. And because of that, everything else they did, everything that they had, all of their relationships in this life, everything was different. The resurrection gave them that eternal perspective of this life. Why? It says that with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. It's not that they had something different than you. They have the same thing that you have. The message of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That is the message that they knew, that they believed. It's the same one that you know and that you believe. Nothing has changed. What was working so mightily and powerfully in them to give them that eternal perspective of this life and what they did in this life was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And that grace of God was working so powerfully in them that they didn't just learn about the grace of God or know about the grace of God, but they clung to it and they lived it. That grace, that undeserved, unconditional, no strings attached love that God had to send that Son, to send that Savior, to take our place, to live that perfect life we are absolutely unable to take our punishment upon Himself on that cross and remove every sin from us, and then to rise victoriously from the dead, to assure us that all is done, all is completed, the gates of heaven are wide open. That is the grace of God in flesh, in action, in Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord. And that is what was working in them and through them. The simple message of the gospel, that good news, that gospel that you know, that you believe, there's nothing different between you and these early Christians. Nothing different at all. That same motivation is yours. That same gospel is yours. That same message of the resurrection is yours. And look what difference it makes. It impacts every area of life. But here in this little section before us, we have two specific ways that we see how that eternal perspective that the resurrection gave them affected how they lived. You see, our relationships in this life with our fellow believers, they mean much more to us. Just the first sentence of our lesson this morning, it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. Their relationships with their fellow believers meant something because of the resurrection, because of that eternal perspective that they were given. Because they got to look at each other. They got to look at their fellow Christians through the lens of Jesus, through the lens of that risen Lord Jesus. That they were so focused on Christ and what He had done for them that they got to see each other as opportunities to love and serve and care for as they had been by their Lord Jesus. They were in one heart and one mind. They believed the gospel. They shared the gospel with each other, and they lived the gospel out together in their lives. Because they saw each other not just as people, but as family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and family not just for this life, but family forever. You see what a difference that makes in your relationships with one another and your fellow believers? You look around in this room, this is not just your Christian family now, not just on Sunday mornings when you come here for an hour, but it is forever. We are brothers and sisters of each other for eternity. Think about what that means and how that looks when you have that eternal perspective of your relationships with your fellow Christians. Think about what that means just here in the church. It means that even if I don't know that fellow church member, that fellow Christian very well, I love them and I care for them and I'm going to pray for them if they need my prayers, and I'm going to want to get to know them and I'm going to want to encourage them. I'm going to want to continue to focus them on their Savior Jesus, focus them on their eternal home. That's what we're here to do. Because we are of one heart and one mind. A heart and a mind focused on Jesus Christ. Think about what this means in the smaller settings of believers that you find yourself in. In your home, with your family. The resurrection gives us this eternal perspective and changes how we look at our marriages. That our spouse is someone that we can love and serve and care for selflessly, sacrificially, as Jesus has first loved and cared for and served me. And that my spouse is not just there to be someone to share my life with here, but first and foremost, we're fellow redeemed souls. First and foremost, we're a brother and sister in Christ, and we get to live forever in that. And so we constantly, spouses are pointing each other to heaven, preparing each other for that eternal life, encouraging one another in faith. With our children. Right? As parents, we have that responsibility and that privilege, yes, to care for their earthly needs, but most importantly, their spiritual needs. You see, that eternal perspective that the resurrection gives us of our relationship with our children changes. That we don't just want them to be successful in this life and happy in this life, but we want them to be assured of their eternal life. That first and foremost, even before a son and a daughter, they are a brother or sister in Christ. And we are there to love them and care for them spiritually. To focus them on their risen Lord Jesus. And that eternal life that is waiting for them too. And to know that is the most important thing that we can do for our children. Our relationships with our fellow believers mean so much more in the light of the resurrection. And not just our relationships, but also the things we have in this life too. What an example we have of these early Christians here. Listen again to what was going on. They were believers in heart. All of the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything that they had. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. And then there's a specific example given. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, sold a field he owned, and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, this is not a sermon about how you need to go and sell your house or your property and all your possessions. This is not a sermon about how you need to give more to the church and come lay more in your offerings here. That is not what this is about. You notice in here, there was no commands for these believers to do this. They weren't being told, you need to go sell your property, go sell your houses and bring it to us. They were doing it of their own accord, of their own volition. They were doing it because they continued to hear that message of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and that grace of God was working so mightily within them. You see, they were given a different perspective of their earthly possessions. They were given an eternal perspective. That the things of this life, in view of eternity, don't really matter a whole lot at all. That there are possessions and blessings and belongings that God has given us, that He has given us to use for His glory and not just for our own. To bless others and not just for ourselves. And what sets you free to see that? What sets you free to know that? What loosens your grip off of your things, off of your money, off of your possessions, off of all of these earthly things that are temporal? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That grace of God that works so mightily within you. to give you a different perspective, an eternal perspective of what this life is all about, to set you free to be radically generous. That it's not a thought. There's no thought here in these early Christians of what's in this for me? How is this going to benefit me? Maybe someone will notice. Maybe I'll get thanked. It was not that. It was they knew the gospel. They believed the gospel. They knew what their Savior Jesus had done, and they wanted to show their love. They wanted to spread that love of Jesus. And that was a real tangible way that they could do that. And it's not that these believers had more than you do. No way. They didn't have nearly what we are blessed to have. Many of these Christians in the early church were rather poor. How blessed are we? That some of us don't just have one vehicle, we have multiple vehicles. Not just a little bit of money in the bank, but some of us quite a bit of money in the bank. Not just the basic necessities that we need, but closets full of things that we haven't touched in years. It's not that these Christians were more blessed than we are and had more physical blessings than we do. That's not what this is about. This is about the radical generosity that they were moved to because of that resurrection. We can loosen our grip on the things of this life and see the greater purpose of the things of this life when we understand what that empty tomb means, when we understand the eternal perspective of what this life is really all about. It's not about just getting stuff and keeping stuff and getting more stuff. It's about being set free to live for him who gave up everything for us, so that in him we might have everything we truly need: forgiveness and peace, new purpose in this life, and the joys of an eternal life waiting. I don't know what this looks like in your life. That's what you get to ponder on and pray on, I hope, throughout this week. What does this look like? That my relationships with my fellow believers mean more, and my possessions mean a lot less to me when I view them in the light of the resurrection. We have a beautiful example of how that grace of God was working mightily in these early Christians. We have this example of how, where did they come to find their purpose and their joy? In the resurrection. That same resurrection that you know, that same grace of God that you believe, that same gospel that brings these truths to us is yours. That grace of God comes to us in what we call, as Lutherans, the means of grace. The word preached and taught and read and meditated upon. The means of grace, as we just got to see this morning in Donnie's baptism. How God richly pours out his blessings upon us and forgives our sins and clothes us in his righteousness. The means of grace as we come to this table and receive his very body and blood for that strengthening of our faith. Right? This means of grace that God says, it's yours. Hear it, believe it, and live it. You know, it's been 4 weeks since Easter. And a lot's happened, I know. It feels like a much longer ago than that. And you know, maybe a lot of things haven't changed since Easter. Yeah, you still have your family. You still go to work. You still got struggles to deal with in life. You still have bills to pay. Right, you still have all of these different things that are going on in your life. They didn't change after Easter Sunday. But how we look at all of those things has to change. Why we do all of those things completely changes in the light of that empty tomb. That truth that we can continually come back and be reset and be reminded that we are made new. that through that message of Jesus crucified and risen, you can constantly come back after you fall into those same old patterns, those same old sins, those same old worries, those same old fears, that same old selfishness. You can come back and remember, I have been made new. Not but what I have done, but what has been done for me. And now God gives me a life. God gives me my time. He gives me my relationships. He gives me my possessions. He gives me all of these things in his grace to simply say thank you, to simply glorify him, to simply keep our eyes focused on heaven, that eternal perspective we have that the resurrection gives us. God grant you that in your relationships. God grant you that in your service. God grant you that in your generosity, to the glory and the praise of our God. Amen.